We're going to talk about getting a bus, right? I mean, what's God doing now? I mean, it's okay. It's good to think about that. But what is God doing now? And, you know, there's God keeps going. You know, is God done? I don't think God's done. What is God doing? Let me ask you this. What is God doing in your life right now? Cricket sounds. What is God doing in your life right now? Listen, man, God can be doing something in our life, something good. Okay, so there was past victories, and then there's past failures. You know, sometimes looking back, we look at our own lives, or we look at things, and we look at our failures. And I tell you what, Satan likes you to dwell on that. How many of you wake up at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you can't get to sleep? And what happened? We were down there, we went down to get Clarissa's stuff, went down to Virginia Beach. Now you sleep in a hotel. First night, I don't sleep that good anyway. I mean, we was in Hampton Inn. I mean, they got them nice mattresses and everything. I woke up at 1 o'clock, and I couldn't get to sleep. And stuff that I had just, you know, I was in my mind, I knew this and that and all, it wasn't no big deal. All of a sudden, it's like magnified, like the biggest problem on the face of the planet. And it's like one thing, I was dwelling on one thing, and I thought, oh man, oh brother. And then the next thing you know, your brain goes to the next little problem that don't mount up to a hill of beans. And then the next thing, that thing's magnified up to something. And I was like, now I got three things going on. And my brain was going from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And it's going around in there. And I think I got on one for an hour from 1 to 2, and another one from an hour from 2 to 3, and another one from 3 to 4. Finally fell back asleep. And when I got up the next day, ain't no big deal. The problems, you know, enemy. But Satan likes us to take those failures of ours, and he likes you to dwell on them, dwell on them, dwell on them. And you know what happens? I've found this out from pastoring and being around people, and I didn't realize as much. There's a whole lot of people that already have low self-esteem. They don't think that much of themselves. And I mean, there's a lot of people that think too much of themselves. I understand that in the world that we're living in. But, you know, you can go to the other extreme, too. Think less of yourself than you ought to. It's like a false sense of humility, but people struggle with that. Satan likes us to get down there. And we get to the point where we think that we're useless. We think that we're useless. And he wants to get you there. Oh, I can't do nothing. God can't use me. You know, we can't do it. He wants you to just think about that. Listen, Israel had a lot of things to think about his failures. You know, God had given them the temple, but they started worshiping idols. God had given them the truth, and they lived a lie. God had gave them the commandments, and they lived like they were suggestions. God had gave them himself, and they rejected him. But you know what? When God started talking to them, and we look right here in Isaiah, God didn't condemn them for the past. He said, look, this is what he's saying. Forget about it. He's not saying forget about it in the sense that you don't remember your mistakes so you don't repeat them. He's saying, look, just don't dwell on it. Move ahead. It's, you know, it's all right. We got failures. Just confess it. Keep going. Keep going for me. He knows that. If everybody had to be perfect for God to use it, none of us would be able to do anything for God. He's saying, listen, just, you know, because sometimes we think, I do this. This is another illustration. I remember thinking when I was a kid, I've been doing this my whole life. I like music a lot. And, you know, I fool around with the bass guitar some. I've been fooling with it here lately a little bit more, and I've fooled around with different things. But, I'm not great at none of them. And the reason is because I don't put all the time in. But what happened was, see, when I was a kid, I mean, I was looking back on my life. I didn't see it then. I'm like 10 years old, and there's some of my buddies that could already play the guitar. You know what I'm thinking at 10 years old? Man, it's just too late. I didn't get started early enough. It's just too late. I can't play like them already. So I'm already behind, so therefore, I'm not going to put the effort in. I got to thinking, when I was 10, I'd say, Paul, if I had started practicing real hard when I was 10, by now, I'd probably be pretty good. You know? And now I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking now? Well, I'm 61 years old. It's too late. Well, not if I lived till I'm 71. I'd say in 10 years worth of real hard practice, I could probably play just about anything pretty good, right? You know, you always think that. You always think, I can't get started. I can't get started because I've had all these failures, and I didn't do this right, and I didn't do that right. We do that in life sometimes. We just can't get going. And Satan likes that. He just wants to keep you beat down. Where you're thinking about these past, you know, you're going to fail again. You're going to fail again. God, listen, God doesn't condemn. He didn't condemn them. Man, that was his people, man. He's not condemning us either. He's saying, you know, forget about the failures. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to do a new thing. Forget about that past. It's okay. So, you know, we see right off the bat, you know, change your focus. And the second thing we see is clarify your focus. Verse 19, that's where he said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? In other words, you're going to know. You'll know it. He's not saying you won't know it. He's saying he's just making that a rhetorical question. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Clarify your focus, and this is, I got this in parentheses. Discover what God wants for you. He said, a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I'm going to do a new thing, God said. You're going to know it. He said, shall you not know it if I do it? You'll know it. You're going to know it. But the question's also asked this way, shall ye perceive it? Now, you might not know it. You know, you have to see. You know, that's what this message is about, is changing your focus and clarifying your focus. Listen, God is doing some things. God's still doing some things. You know, shall we know it? I mean, God wants us to know it. Can we see it? Yeah, you know, we should be able to see it. But, you know, when I asked a question like this morning, what do you see when you view your life? I mean, really, what do you see when you view your life? Do you see problems or do you see possibilities? I think sometimes, you know, Satan likes us to focus on problems. And we don't, and so sometimes we don't think about the possibilities. What God could do for you. You know, what God could do. What could God do with your life? I shared this with you before one time when Sherry's stepmother got married. I was just in there, you know, being me. And this lady said, Daniel, said, what do you do for a living? And there wasn't nothing against this. She didn't mean it in a bad way. I said, I'm a welder. Shook her head. She said, what a waste. She said, God, you know, she didn't say God, but she said, you could do more with your life than that. And there's nothing wrong with wealth. She just saw, you know, I mean, because we aim high. God could do more. And I can look now, okay, well, hey, guess what? And I'm not a welder now. I'm a pastor. But see, I can still say, well, can God do any more with me than he's done? Yeah. Yeah, he can. It's not like it's all settled. You know, it's God can do more. Can we see that? Can we see the possibilities? He said, I can make a way in the wilderness and I can make a river in the desert. You know, and the Israelites and us too, they had a choice to make. We can view the past problems or the problems of the present or focus on what God wants to do right now. If God can take a wilderness and transform a wilderness or a desert and transform it into life and blessing, he can do it in our lives as well. I watch those National Geographic things all the time. And, you know, if you ever saw the ones like on certain deserts, it's amazing how they can, you know, a desert looks pretty lifeless. Now, I know they dig around under there in the rocks and here's a scorpion and there's a rattlesnake and, you know, here's an ant or something. It doesn't, but it's not like the zoo, you know, as much. But the plants and all look dead. And then it like rains. Finally get some rain in the desert. And it's amazing. There's certain plants that pop up and there's flowers that pop out. And I was watching a thing one time and it was so cool. They did it right on TV. It wasn't time lapse or nothing. I wish I had done a little more research and I'd have all the names of this plant and everything. But it was something like a type of lichen, you know, one of them little mossy looking things that kind of grows on something. And it was all brown and shriveled up. It looked like it was dead. But this stuff is so ready for moisture and so ready for rain that this lady on camera took a spray bottle of water and she just spray it like that one time and instantly it would change color and pop open to another thing. It changed its color and its shape just like that by just a mist of a spray bottle of water. It looked like it was dead, and all of a sudden, it just looked like it was alive. I thought, man, I mean, that is how ready that this was for something to happen. I thought, man, that's a great illustration for the people of God. You know, there we are, man, we might look dead and lifeless, man, but we should be ready, waiting. I mean, that God would just, you know, fill us with His Spirit, and boom, man, there would be some life right there, away in the wilderness, and a river in the desert. Third thing that we see about this is commit yourself to God's plan. Commit yourself to God's plan. You know, God has already set into motion. And when we look in Israel right now, remember I said they were in the Babylonian captivity. He said on verse 19, I'll do a new thing. It's going to spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. When God said that, they were in the Babylonian captivity, and they couldn't see this. But God had already set things into motion that was going to lead Israel out of that Babylonian captivity and into the land of blessing. It was already set in motion. So, you know, I think there's things. Now listen, God said with the Israelites, all right, when he got the wheels going in motion, he said, listen, I'm leading out. Now they could have said, oh, no, we're not going to follow you. If they hadn't, guess what? They'd have stayed in the captivity. You know, they would have just stayed there. That was it. That there was just two choices, you know, follow God out or not. And, you know, but it was up to them to decide if they wanted what God was offering. That's what it is today. It's up to you. You know, you got to decide. Listen, God's given us all kind of promises. We'd be here all night if we listed all the promises that God has for his people. You know, for us today, I mean, boy, about, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, said all these other things I'm going to add to you. We don't believe it. As we try to get them on our own, we don't believe it. God said, I'm going to add it to you. I'll give it to you. You just do it. But you got to decide whether you want to trust God for it or not. All the things, what are we trying to do in life? What are we trying to be? We're trying to be happy, right? God said, I'll give you joy. You won't even be able to receive it all if you just believe it. You got to make the decision. You've got to decide yourself if you're going to take what God is offering. And that's it. And they had to do it. If not, you stay in the captivity, and they would have as well. Don't you think that God is offering more than you experience in your Christian life? Amen. So who's the problem? It's not God. You know, it's not God. God is offering more than what we're experiencing. He said, listen, man, joy, you can have it. Peace, you can have it. Man, happiness, all the things that we want. God said, I'm offering it to you. Just follow me. Just follow me. Just do it. Don't look anywhere else. This is where you got to look. Just got to believe God. God's already got the wheels in motion. I think there's things. God wants to do a thing. God wants to do something. The wheels are in motion, but he wants us to get on board with, you know, what he's going to do. God will do a new thing, he said. But, you know, we have to get on board. I wrote this. I got a psalm here. I didn't mark it in my Bible. Let me get to it. Psalm 95. It's in the Old Testament. Psalm 95 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great. Is a great God and a great King above all gods. His hands are in the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, and to whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. But see, what is he said? Come, let us worship in verse 6, and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He's our God, and we are his people of his the people of his pasture and the sheep of his land. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. Man, God's got a new thing for us. It's already set in motion. Just got to get on board with God. It's all standing. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you come to altars, God leads you.